The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field, which a person finds and hides again, and out of joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has and buys it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net thrown into the sea, which collects fish of every kind. When it is full, they haul it ashore and sit down to put what is good into buckets. What is bad, they throw away. Thus it will be at the end of the age. The angels will go out and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Do you understand all these things?" They answered, "Yes." And he replied, "Then every scribe who has been instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like the head of a household who brings from his storeroom both the new and the old." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
A few months ago, the staff at St. Patrick's and St. Margaret Mary's went on their annual staff retreat. We decided we were going to go to Turkey Run, spend the day there, just kind of a way to get away from the office for a little bit, spend some time building up fraternity, getting to know one another better, just enjoying a day together. And so while we were there, we spent the morning taking personality tests and kind of learning our strengths and weaknesses and telling stories about ourselves and generally just getting to know each other even better, developing stronger bonds and friendships. And while we were there, our business manager, at one point in the morning, decided to share with us one of her favorite jokes, and I thought it was hilarious, so I'm going to share it with you today. The joke begins, as any good joke should, "A man and his ostrich walked into a bar." You already know it's going to be good with that. So a man and an ostrich walk into a bar, and they sit down at the bar, and the bartender kind of looks at them oddly, you know, rightly so. And he tells the man, "You know, what can I get for you?" And the man says, "Well, I just want a beer. How much will that be?" The bartender said, "Well, that'll be $4.23. So the man reaches into his pocket and he pulls out exactly $4.23 and hands it to the bartender. The bartender brings him his beer, all is well. The next day, same routine, man and his ostrich walk into the bar. They go up to the bar, the bartender asks what they want. They want another beer. Once again, reaches into his pocket, pulls out exactly $4.23. Well, the third day comes. They walk in, the man and the ostrich sit down at the bar. The man said, "I want to kind of change it up a bit today. I'd like to get a scotch. How much will that go for?" The bartender said, "Well, that'll be $7.50. Well, once again, the man reaches into his pocket, pulls out exactly $7.50 and hands it to the man for his scotch. Well, the bartender kind of looked at him with a questioning face and said, "You know, I've been noticing the last couple days you seem to have the exact change of anything you want to order." He's like, "And how are you doing that? You don't even know the prices before you come into this place." The man kind of sighed and he said, "Well, a few years back, I was walking along the seashore and I stumbled across a magic lamp. And inside the lamp, there was a genie after I rubbed the lamp. And the genie was going to grant me two wishes. And so for my first wish, I thought to myself, well, I don't want to just get X amount of dollars because eventually that money will run. Instead, exactly the right amount of money I need for anything I need to purchase. And that way, for the rest of my life, whatever I want to get, I'll have the money to get it." The bartender said, "Well, that's brilliant. You know, if you got $1 million, you know, you'd run out of $1 million or you'd squander it away. But this way, you can have whatever you want for the rest of your life, regardless of how expensive or inexpensive it is." And then the bartender looked at the man again and said, I'm still a little confused, though. What's with the ostrich?" And the man kind of rolled his eyes and he said, "Well, that was my second wish. I wished for a chick with long legs." Be careful what you wish for. Now, those kinds of stories, the ones with magic, granting wishes, the kind of being careful what you wish for, they harken back to olden days. Probably the most famous one is called The Fisherman and His Wife. This is a grim fairy tale, not that it's sad, but it's by the Brothers Grimm in Germany. And in this story, there's a fisherman who's out at sea, and he throws his net into the sea, and he catches a batch of fish. And he looks into it, and he notices there's a gold fish in the midst of all the other fish. And the fish talks to him. And the fish says, "Oh, sir, you have caught me. I beg you, I'm a prince of the sea. If you let me go back into the waters, I will grant you whatever wish you want." The fisherman looked at him and said, "Well, you know, my bad. I'm the one who caught you. I'm the one who put you in this peril. I'm just going to let you go. You know, no need to grant any wishes. You know, no big deal." So he let the fish go, and he went back home to his wife and told her the story, you know, of what had happened that day. And she kind of looked at him and was just like, you gave up a wish. You could have had whatever you wanted. Look at this shack that we live in. You know, we could have a way better house. You go down, you march down to that sea, and you find that fish, and you ask him for a better house. The fisherman's like, "Well, you know, I love my wife, so I'm going to do what she tells me to do." So sure enough, he goes out to the seashore, and he calls out for the fish, and the goldfish shows up. And he says, "Listen, you know, I went home. The wife would love to have a bigger house. Is there any way, I know I told you don't worry about it, is there any way you could grant that wish?" And the fish is like, "You know, fine. You know, not a problem. You saved my life. Sure, you know, you'll go back home, and there'll be a mansion waiting for you." So sure enough, he goes home and enters this huge house, you know, and his wife is sitting inside, kind of looking around at it, and she says, "You know, it's nice, but it's not quite big enough. You know, what if we had a palace, like a castle? I mean, you saved this fish's life. Go out there and ask him for a palace." So the fisherman again rolled his eyes and was like, "Okay, you know." So he goes back out, calls out for the fish. The fish shows up, and he says, I hate to bother you, you know, but the missus back home, she wants something a little bit bigger, you know, a palace, castle kind of thing. Is this something you can do?" The fish said, "Yeah, not a problem, you know. You go back home, castle's waiting for you." So he goes back home. Sure enough, the wife is sitting inside this massive palace. And she's sitting on this huge chair, and she says, "You know, it's just not quite a castle unless there's a queen inside of it." So she's like, "Go back to that fish. I'd like to be a queen of this castle and the surrounding lands." The fisherman gives a sigh, you know, he's getting kind of frustrated with this, but he loves his wife. So he goes out to the seashore, once again calls the fish. Fish comes up and he says, "Look, my wife wants to be a queen. Can you take care of that?" Fish is like, "Absolutely no problem." Goes back home. The wife has a crown on her head, is the queen of the land, has this castle to live in. But she looks up at the sky and she says, "You know, the sun is just too bright. I could be like God. Go and ask the fish for that." So the fisherman reluctantly goes back out to the seashore. He says, "Look, I'm sure this is the last wish. Can you make my wife like God, to control the sun and the moon and the stars?" And the fish said, "Yes, this is your last wish." And the man returned home to find his old hut with his wife sitting miserably inside of it. And that's how they lived out the rest of their days. These stories, asking for wishes, getting them or not getting them, hail all the way even back into the Old Testament. Today's first reading, we have the story of Solomon, this great king of Israel, the son of King David who brought peace to the land. And he's visited by God in a dream. And God says to Solomon, "I will grant you whatever you want. You want wealth? I'll grant you wealth. You want power over your enemies? I'll give you that power. You want long life and good health? I can grant you that as well. What do you want of me? I'll grant you whatever you want." I suspect Solomon had heard these stories before and he kind of cheated. He didn't ask for any of those things. He said, "Lord God, all I want is understanding. All I desire is wisdom to know what is right. And God in his infinite love looked at him and said, you got it. And not only, if you read the passage further, not only does he give him understanding, he gives him wealth and long life and power over his enemies, everything that a man could ever want. All because he asked for understanding. Now, how important is this gift of understanding that we hear not only in the first reading, but in today's gospel, when Christ is giving these parables and he says, you must give up all you have and follow me. Do you understand this? How important is that? It's a game changer. It changes everything. Look at the apostles. Here they are following this man who doesn't have a dime to his name. You talk about wealth? The man had to borrow a tomb when he died. Long life? They were following a man who died at 33. Power over his enemies. They fled in fear because in a garden, their Lord was arrested, scourged at the pillar, tortured, made fun of, crucified by Roman soldiers. But they had the gift of understanding. And in that gift, suddenly they saw what others couldn't see. That when they looked on the man of Jesus Christ, who they knew as the Son of God, when they saw him, they realized that his wealth was the greatest wealth of all, the wealth of friendship and family and loving kindness, a place of belonging. Then when they looked at Christ and they thought of long life, they knew that he promised eternal life, life that would never know the eternal darkness of death, that instead would it extend beyond the mortal veil of this existence. And then when he talked about power over your enemies, he guaranteed power of sin and doubt and fear in our lives. And because of the power of understanding that those apostles had, the gift that Solomon received from God, and that is our inheritance, they knew that Christ offered them so much more than just wealth or long life or power over our enemies. That at that Last Supper, he said, take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you. Take this, all of you, and drink, for this is the chalice of my blood, an eternal covenant, which will be shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me. You know that fisherman's wife, like God, but Jesus can. He always has been able to. All that's been required of us is to open our eyes and see it. Ask for that gift of understanding. Maybe the old adage is wrong. Maybe we shouldn't be careful what we wish for. Amen.